What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Decide Guys Football Forum. I'm one of your co-hosts, Umber Decide, joined as always by my co-host, the other half of the Decide Guys, Tad Decide. And Tad, we are continuing on with our mini-series. We're going to be talking about a head coach here that I think a lot of the LAFB crew will be excited to hear, and that's Mr. Brandon Staley, the new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, you know, well, first off, I have to say that Sean McVay has to be so upset that he keeps losing all of his coordinators and assistant coaches. Like, that dude is getting poached. Like, he must spend most of his time in the offseason going through resumes rather than, like, draft stuff.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about draft stuff because he keeps trading away his first-round picks, right?
Yeah, that's so true. But, yeah, no, like you said, so Staley was the defensive coordinator with the Rams, hired over to stay in town, so he's now with the Chargers. And LAFB network guys were losing their minds. They were like, that's such a great hire. We're so excited now. And I'm like I pretty much did the Homer Simpson gif, where he, like, slowly goes
back into the
bushes.
Hedges, yep.
Yeah, because I don't get it. I really don't, because it's like how you referenced him in the last episode was that he's being hailed as this defensive prodigy. I think prodigy is the perfect word for it. I don't understand why. Like, I kind of understand why, but I think we need people to relax here. Chargers fans think they just hired the next best, like, the defensive Kyle Shanahan. And I'm not sure that's the case, because I know he played quarterback in Dayton, so he understands the offense so well. So that's why he can stop him so well. And apparently he's this, like, great leader and this great guy, and I don't doubt any of that. But exactly like what you said, why are you going defensive coach, an unproven defensive coach on top of that, when you have Justin Herbert? And fans may be going, Tad, you said the solid hire for the Jets wasn't that bad. I know, that's because the Jets need a total rebuild. Like, they can focus on the defense and make that the face of their franchise. But the Chargers have a clear path forward, and it's through Justin Herbert. So I don't understand why you're going to defensive coach. I don't understand why you're going to defensive coach that's only been a coordinator for 1 year. And it's just, I don't get this hire. Like, I don't think it's a terrible hire. So ultimately, I would give it around like a C+. Rant over. I can now wait for the hate mail from all the LAFB guys.
I do think it's an interesting hire. Yeah, exactly like I said, prodigy. I believe the word I used in the last episode was wunderkind.
Yeah, I'm not trying that.
He's only been in the NFL for about 4 years. He was a defensive coordinator for only 1 year, and that was in Los Angeles last year with the Rams. He landed a head coaching job. I mean, very similar to Sean McVay. Like, I mean, just not a lot of experience, and he's already tabbed with the head coaching job. So hopefully he could follow the same track as McVay and be successful. But, I mean, McVay is sort of seeing a little bit of, you know, crashing down to reality. Like, he ascended pretty quickly, but now sort of like, you know, is he going to be the same guy? But, you know, he did get to the playoffs again in 2020, so I mean, he is doing well. So yeah, maybe Brandon Staley can turn around the Chargers is what all LA fans are sort of hoping for. Learned under Vic Fangio. I mean, he's such a great defensive mind, so maybe that's part of the reason as to, like, he was able to absorb a lot from him, which led to him succeeding in Los Angeles with the Rams, and then that's probably why he got the job with the Chargers, obviously. But the one thing, though, is that, like, I know he's a defensive-minded head coach, and there is worry that it's like, what's the development going to be like for Justin Herbert? But he went out and he hired Joe Lombardi, who was the quarterbacks coach for the New Orleans Saints, combined 12 seasons there. Obviously coached with Drew Brees and Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael. So, I mean, there's familiarity there. So he's got some experience there. Then he brought in Shane Day from the San Francisco 49ers, who's going to be the quarterbacks coach here. And so you have experiences with two potent offenses with both the New Orleans Saints and the San Francisco 49ers under Kyle Shanahan. And so maybe he's just hoping that it's like he's going to rely on this experience and this sort of like groupthink effort to help with Herbert's growth, because Staley's only going to worry about the defense. I don't think he's going to worry about the offense as much. I know a lot of people are sort of pegging the fact that he played quarterback back at the University of Dayton that he's going to be helpful on that front, but I think that's more just going to be helpful for the defense as opposed to Herbert's growth. So hopefully, yeah, that offensive minds that they have hired there, and let's just see if he can continue his meteoric rise from being the Rams' defense coordinator to now being a head coach to compete in the AFC West, because he's got to deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending AFC champions and, you know, Super Bowl champions from 2 years removed, you know, sort of thing. So we'll see how it all happens, but let's sort of jump into the scheme that Brandon Staley is going to implement here. So Tad, you know, He runs a 3-4 alignment here on defense with the eagle wide nine front in the box. So I know that's a lot of technical terms there. So we brought up the wide nine before when we were talking about Robert Saleh. So that's where you're spreading out your defensive linemen to outside of the tight end positions. The 3-4 alignments, obviously three down linemen, four linebackers behind that. And the eagle front is interesting. So here's where the defensive linemen are lining up directly with the offensive tackles on either side, and the nose tackle is lining up directly with the center and or off the shoulder of the center. So pretty much it's like you're stacking with three linemen, very spread out, and the linebackers are covering the wide nine front, like I said. So they're covering like a lot of field, and this is helpful for run stopping. One thing for the 2020 Rams with that is that they had the lowest percentage of seven defenders or more. They never had a stacked box. It was only 15%, which is the lowest in the league. So he was relying on the fact that this alignment of the wide nine and the eagle front was able to keep his man coverage cornerbacks, which is very crucial. I mean, when you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey, if you can shut down the opposing receiver, this allows you to sort of experiment with this type of front and be successful at getting after the runner, allowing less deep passes. I mean, they have one of the best pass defenses on deep passes in the league. I mean, they only allowed 14.7% completion rate on deep passes and the lowest yards per attempt at only 5.1. So, I mean, they're not allowing deep plays. You're not going to beat this team deep. So if he could implement that in Los Angeles with the Chargers, I mean, that's what the Kansas City Chiefs love to do. They love to drop back Patrick Mahomes, throw it deep to Tyreek Hill. And if you could limit that, you're going to prevent the Kansas City Chiefs from competing in this defense, in this division, excuse me. So hopefully that can all work out. Just Tad, do you have anything that you want to input here? I mean, one thing before you sort of jump in here is that the Eagle front works well. I'll say that here, but they had Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald is now the reigning defensive player of the year. He's, you know, multi-time defensive player of the year. Joey Bosa is a great defender, but he's still got a lot to go to become like Aaron Donald. So Aaron Donald is literally able to eat up those defensive lines, eat up the double teams, the triple teams, which allowed some of the supplemental pieces around him, the other defensive linemen, the other linebackers on the outside, to go in and get after and get those sacks, get those pressures, force those turnovers, drop into coverage, whatever it was. So if Joey Bosa can sort of take on that role, then I think they're going to be okay. Otherwise, they will have to make some adjustments because, yeah, I don't know how effective Joey Bosa can be in that type of Aaron Donald role. I think he could be effective, just not to the same extent. And so I think they really need to either explore to bring in a guy that could be like Aaron Donald, or they really need to train up Joey Bosa to sort of fit that sort of mold. I do think he'll take a step under Brandon Staley, but it's a little bit just, I don't know how effective it will be. They may have to make some slight tweaks to that eagle front, wide nine alignment in the 3-4 defense that they have to incorporate the playmakers that they do have, adjust with the personnel. So, Tad, is there anything that I left out that you kind of want to bring up here?
I mean, yeah, the system's good, but this is why I'm lukewarm, let's say, on this hire. Because, of course the system's good, because you have amazing personnel on literally every level. You have the best defensive tackle ever with Aaron Donald. You have a great safety in John Johnson, and then you also have one of the best shutdown corners in the league in 100%. Jalen Ramsey. So it's like, yes, of course the system's going to work. You have so much talent there. And people go, wow, this is so smart what they're doing with the linebackers, because he usually puts the linebackers slightly outside the defensive ends, who are already, like you said, pretty out there. And it's almost like an RPO on defense. Like, they play shallow zone, but if they see an opportunity open up, it also allows for a quick blitz. They got to make that call in a couple seconds. So that's why, because you're not sure, like, which one is going to happen. So yeah, of course the linebackers are all doing well, because Aaron Donald, you know that you're going to get pressure on every play because of Aaron Donald. So I'm not sure, and like you said, and I know you didn't quite mean this, but you can't just go out and get another Aaron Donald. You know, if you could, you know, the league would be a lot more fun, but you just can't.
Yeah, can't do it.
So I'm just not totally sure this is going to work, especially because, like you said, with Bosa, like the outside rush is not as crucial to this defense as the interior rush. So you're not moving Bosa to the defensive tackle. That's not going to work. So then what do you do with him? Do you make him a 3-4 end, which I think will work, but I think that's kind of underutilizing him. Or do you move him more towards like an edge and linebacker position and actually have him dropping in coverage in some plays? Because I think he's capable of doing well with that, but you got to do that carefully. So it's just that fit is interesting to me. I'm sure, obviously, they're going to be building the defense heavily in the draft. But, yeah, no, I mean, the defense is very complex, but I think it's pretty easy to make a complex system when you had that much talent that the Rams have.
Exactly. So we'll see what sort of adjustments they make with the personnel that they have, as mentioned. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. So I know you were pretty happy with the Joe Lombardi hiring as offensive coordinator, and as mentioned, that brings a lot of experience to hopefully grow Justin Herbert's experience here and help him develop into a, you know, star in the league at the quarterback position for the Chargers. But I mean, he's pretty much succeeded only in New Orleans, because I mean, he had a brief stint where he was the Detroit Lions' offensive coordinator, but it just wasn't as successful. So I mean, do you want to speak to Joe Lombardi a little bit here before we, you know, before I get a chance to?
So here's where I really piss off Chargers fans, because I'm gonna say something good and then something bad. So this hire took the Brandon Staley grade from C- for me to C+.
Okay.
So Chargers fans are going to go, C-, what are you talking about? Yeah, that's how not psyched I was about this hire. And then I started looking into Lombardi's past because, of course, I assumed that he's bringing that spread style, kind of air it deep New Orleans offense here. And that is Justin Herbert's game, right? That's what makes him so exciting, is every time he throws the ball, you don't know if it's going 5 yards or 50. Because that dude's got cannon, his deep accuracy is just ridiculous. So I was like, that's perfect. That is the perfect type of offense. So I was like, if that happens, great. But when he was in Detroit from 2014 to 2015, he ran a pro-style West Coast, very vanilla, short passes, running game. That was actually the start of the whole Matt Stafford's never had a running back line of, you know, around the Detroit Lions. That's still there 5 years later. But his time being the Lions OC, they went 18-14. He got fired halfway through the 2015 season. They struggled to get the run game going, like I said. They struggled to get the ball to Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson. How do you do that? And this is like peak Golden Tate, too. This is not like old, you know, Golden. And then at the time of his firing, Matt Stafford had 13 touchdowns and 9 picks. The scheme doesn't work. And I don't know. Hopefully he's learned from his time in New Orleans how to adapt to the personnel, but he really just tried to force his way in there and it didn't work. So it's kind of like it's going to be Cinderella slipper if it's the New Orleans offense that fits perfectly. It's going to be the Snow White apple if he reverts back to the Detroit Lions offense. So you're either going to find the man of your dreams or you're going to die. So like that's just the reality of it. So like I said, Chargers just it's a lot of question marks here with their staff right now.
Yeah, it's very interesting of a picture that you painted there. It's either gonna fit perfectly or you're gonna die.
I guess Snow White didn't die. Did she? Well, she would have died if what's his face didn't kiss her, right?
Exactly what happened.
Okay. So yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, I think just speaking to the fact that, you know, I think a lot of Detroit fans were excited when they hired Joe Lombardi because obviously he comes from New Orleans. They had such a great offense with Drew Brees, Sean Payton, all those guys over there. And, you know, it was very highly anticipated, you know, like that video game Cyberpunk 2077 from last year. A lot of people were raving about this game. Oh my God, the graphics look great and the story is going to be amazing. And Keanu Reeves was like a spokesperson and I think he does a voice in the game. I don't remember all this stuff, but it's just like highly anticipated. So I think Joe Lombardi came in with high cred and then unfortunately kind of crashed and burned, very similar to the game's release. I mean, just the game is just tons of bugs, glitches. I think people are getting epileptic seizures by some of the scenes in the game. It just wasn't a complete product because they didn't want to delay it longer. But just like, I think Lions fans were going in expecting that this offense was going to be good under Joe Lombardi. I think he tried to copy too much of what New Orleans did. And I think he didn't adjust to the personnel, which is kind of what we're saying with Brandon Staley on the defense. You need to adjust to the personnel. So hopefully when he's working with Herbert and this offense, he could take, you know, he could take schemes and a philosophy from the Saints, but he needs to implement and adjust to who he has and work his own sort of philosophies and schemes, work with Shane Day, as mentioned, as the quarterback's coach for the Chargers now, just sort of figure out a good philosophy that's good with the personnel that they have. he's got some good pieces to work with, because obviously he's got Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler should be healthy the entire year. Obviously got a great receiver in Keenan Allen. We'll see what happens with Hunter Henry, but I mean, you still got some good weapons with Mike Williams as well, KJ Hill, Jalen Guyton. They got some pieces there that they can work with, that they can develop a good system around. And yeah, I think in this second stint, Joe Lombardi can learn from it and hopefully, you know, just adjust accordingly so he won't crash and burn and totally affect the Chargers' rebuild process to compete in the AFC West. So, do you have any final thoughts on either side of the ball for the Chargers as far as scheme fit?
No, Tad Desai 94, shoot all your hate mail at me, guys. I'm ready for it. And the Desai Guys podcast. If you want to shoot us, me and Amir can both see those. So that's where you reach me, and that's where you can reach
against
me.
Exactly. So yeah, let's see how these scheme fits adjust, and let's see how these scheme fits work, and whether the Brandon Staley and Joe Lombardi can adjust to the personnel that they have. Okay, so now let's jump into some possible free agency moves for the Chargers here, whether it's going to be both internal free agents, so their own free agents, or what sort of market they're going to be looking at as far as some positions they could fill outside of the Chargers through the free agency market. So let's start with their own free agents. They got some key line pieces. They got Dan Feeney, Forrest Lamp, and Sam Tevy were all starters on the offensive line at some point. I know with Feeney and Lamp, they dealt with injuries and then also just inconsistent play probably because of those injuries, so they just weren't able to establish themselves. But they're still young offensive linemen. They're only going to be 27 when they sign them in the free agency here. And I think they're probably going to be priorities because it's like you got the young offensive linemen. I think they can continue to develop here. And I think he can work through his inconsistencies. I think if they can stay healthy, which is obviously the key factor here, I think he can bank on that. That I think they're worth re-signing, even as just quality depth pieces. Like, maybe they won't be starters. Maybe you're going to go into the draft and you're going to draft some other guys, explore the free agent market to bring in some other people. But I think Feeney and Lamp should be priority. Sam Tevy, maybe. I know, obviously, Brian Bulaga is out for the entire year, so I think he's going to step in, obviously, going into 2021, be a starting left tackle. But, yeah, I think Lamp and Feeney should be priorities for them. What do you think?
It was funny. I remember when they were drafted 5 years ago in back-to-back rounds 2 and 3, if I'm not mistaken. I loved both of those picks, but I thought about it, I'm like, that's going to be really weird when they're both up for free agency. It's like in Madden when you just, you know, make all these ridiculous draft trades and you have like 5 picks in the top 10 and you're really, really good, and then you go bankrupt because you have to pay all the players.
Right.
That's literally when I stopped playing franchises. I just do the same 4 or 5 years over again. But yeah, no, I agree. I think they are good starters when, like you said, when healthy. So definitely top priority should be them. But yeah, man, it was wild when I looked up the list of pending free agents for the Chargers, because I was like, yeah, he's a good piece. Yeah, he's a good piece. He's a good piece. I got till about like player 10 before I was like, I think they could let him walk. That'd be okay. Like, there are a lot of key pieces here. They had $24 million in cap space, so there's room to, you know, re-sign a lot of these guys, but they're going to have to do some tricky maneuvering. And it's just, you know what? It's been rumored for a long time now, especially Ryan Dyrud and Stephen Hoglund. I know they both have advocated for this. Mike Williams is due $15.6 million next season in the last year of his contract, which will make him one of the highest paying receivers next season. I don't think he's worth that, so he may get cut. He might get traded. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw Mike Williams leave LA.
Yeah, there's a possibility that he'll get traded. I think that's a high chance because I think you want to get something for him as opposed to just releasing him. So they'll probably explore the trade market to see if they can unload him and get some draft capital. Maybe they'll get an offensive lineman in return because obviously they want to shore that up. Yeah, I think that's a market that they should explore because, yeah, that's a huge number. And Mike Williams is good. But is he $15.6 million good? I don't think so. I don't think yet. Maybe he'll get there, but just unfortunately not at this time. Here's a big name a lot of people are talking about. I want to get your opinion on this, but Hunter Henry. Obviously, he was mired with injuries to begin his career. When he was healthy, he looked pretty good, but just that was the problem. Staying on the field, he just couldn't do that. He finally was able to play through 13 games this year, I believe. Might have been 14, but pretty much he played the entire season this year. Recorded career highs then, obviously, because he was able to play the entire season. But he was Justin Herbert's one of his favorite targets, because, I mean, behind Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry was the second most targeted player on this team. I do have to throw into the fact, though, that Austin Eckler was out pretty much all of this year, and he is vitally used in the passing game. And so I wonder if that's going to eat into his targets, because Justin Herbert may be able to do the swing passes, the safety valve sort of option, the safety net option, and maybe Hunter Henry's numbers will go down. So do you need such a good tight end at that position? Because I think he put the injury history behind him now, hopefully. So now you're just looking at the quality of the player. And because he had such a great season, he may have priced himself out for the Chargers to sort of re-sign him as well. So just, do they make him a priority? Like, this is the guy we need to get because he had such a great relationship with Herbert and we need to continue that development? Or do they just have to look elsewhere because he might have priced himself out?
100% they need to make him a priority. Okay. 100%. Because like I said at the top of this episode, if I'm the Chargers, I'm doing whatever the hell I can to keep Justin Herbert happy. Like, I know people are going to say, like, you are talking like about him like he's Tom Brady. Honestly, if he keeps playing like he did last year, he's going to be one of the best QBs in the league 5 years from now. And you do not want to piss him off early. Because as we're seeing now, young quarterbacks are starting to demand trades and the quarterback markets are heating up. So, like, it's not that, you know, crazy to think if Herbert gets pissed, he's gone in 2 or 3 years. So, yes, they should keep Hunter Henry just for that repertoire. Because you are right that Eckler is going to take away some targets and everything from him in the future, but that still means that it's just, you know, it's one more weapon there. And he had career highs and targets and catches, like you said, but here's where I disagree with you. I don't think he is going to get priced out of LA, because I think teams are going to look at his injury history and are going to be like, do we want to pay him a lot? And plus, I don't even think you have to be a good tight end to make a lot of money. And I just don't think a lot of NFL teams out there really want to pay him a lot, because it's, I won't say easy, but it's cheaper and more less risky to just go in the draft and find a crazy athletic tight end. Because I honestly don't think many teams see Hunter Henry as that much better than Mike Gesicki in Miami. So I think his offers will be definitely expensive, but I think the Chargers can make it happen, and they should make it happen.
I think the one thing that sort of helps Hunter Henry's case to get a big contract, though, is that the tight end class this year is not that strong. I mean, you got Kyle Pitts, you got Pat Freiermuth. I mean, little bit, but I mean, it's like a big separation between Pitts and Freiermuth, and then everybody else is just like a very big question mark. So it's just like, you don't know what you're going to get with the tight end class this year. And then also the free agency class is not that strong either. So it's like, Hunter Henry would be the best tight end on the market if he were to hit the market sort of thing. So if a team is looking for their sort of, you know, starting quality tight end, you know, they want their George Kittles, they want their Travis Kelce, they want their Zach Ertz, then they may overpay for Hunter Henry. I mean, that's the only thing that I can see that can help Hunter Henry's case to get a big contract, which would be a reason as to why the Chargers may be like, I think we may have to go in a different direction, unfortunately.
What team is really dying for a tight end, though? You know what I mean? Like, I off the top of my head, I'm thinking, like, maybe Arizona it might be the top contender for needing a tight end. But, like, otherwise, I keep thinking on teams, and they, like I said, they all have the same type of guy. Big athletic dude who can go out wide or play close to the line. And Hunter Henry's not that different. So I'm not sure if the market is really there either.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see about that. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Denzel Perryman had such a great season for the Chargers. Kenneth Murray obviously was the rookie, and he had a lot of growing pains, unfortunately. So Perryman was able to come in and step in and have a great year. He's going to be a free agent. I think if you bring him along and you pair him up with Kenneth Murray, I think you got two great starting quality middle linebackers that can look really good under Staley's sort of system here. So I think he should definitely get a contract. And then you got to look at the secondary. You got Michael Davis, who really made some great leaps and bounds in this past offseason, and Rayshon Jenkins, a safety. I think he'd be a really great depth piece as well. Cheap signings that could be crucial pieces for Staley's type of system. So is there any other free agents that you wanted to discuss as far as Chargers free agents?
Yeah, this is a longtime Chargers guy. Unfortunately, I think they're going to let him walk, and that's Melvin Ingram. He was really good. Spent I think close to a decade with the team at this point. But he's just not the same player he was. I'm not sure about the fit because he's definitely more of an edge rusher than a coverage guy. And you need to be able to do both at least somewhat effectively in Staley's system.
That's true.
So I don't really see the fit there. This guy, man, I really think they should re-sign him. I think he'd be really good in this defense, but I don't know if they're going to do it. It's Nick Vigil, the other linebacker.
Because right.
You are absolutely 100% right. Denzel Perryman should be the defensive priority of, like, we need to bring this guy back. Vigil, I think it's a really good
piece. Really like Nick
really,
Vigil.
Really like him. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off, but if they are, they should. But that's going to hurt if they lose him. That one's going to sting quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely one of those underrated linebackers in the league. And, yeah, whoever does sign him, whether it's the Chargers or whether it's another team, I think he got yourself a quality linebacker there. So let's start looking at the external market. So, like I said, we got about projected cap space is around $24.1 million. So they got a little bit of money to play with. I mean, you don't want to go, you know, breaking the bank for any players, as mentioned. But there are some quality names out there. Like, I mean, with the possibility of Henry leaving, I mean, I laid out some options here that you could get at the receiver position that would be quality pieces to supplement with your Keenan Allen, your KJ Hill, your Austin Ekeler in the backfield, obviously. So I'm looking at Josh Reynolds from the Rams. I think he'd be a really good supplemental piece. Dede Westbrook, who we talked about with the Jaguars, I think he's a quality contributor, and maybe a change of scenery can help here and pair up with Joe Lombardi, Shane Day. And then John Ross, I mean, he's a deep threat, and maybe with Justin Herbert's cannon arm, deep shot accuracy, John Ross can be a little bit more effective in this system compared to what he was in Cincinnati. If we're looking at the offensive line, I know they need to shore that up. Depending on what happens with Lampofini, if you really want to go for broke and you only want to make one big move, I think you brought this name up as well, and we've been bringing up his name consistently the past couple episodes. Joe Thuney, I think if you could sign him, you're going to anchor your interior offensive line and really give yourself some good stability on that offensive line as well. So in case you don't want to spend that much, I think we brought this up in the last episode. Brian Winters out of Buffalo, I think, would be a great piece. Brett Jones out of Minnesota would be a great center. And then Matt Filer out of Pittsburgh would also be a quality center as well, possibly as a depth piece. Maybe could work his way into the starting rotation. And then last thing I want to bring up before I kick it over to you, Tad, is just Brandon Staley obviously came from the Rams. I think there's some Rams free agents that he could probably bring over to the Chargers now. So you got Morgan Fox, who was a defensive end. He was a great rotational piece for the Rams. Troy Hill, I mean, he was such a great defensive back for them.
We'll see
if they can be bring him in on a, you know, reasonable contract. And then Samson Ebukam, outside linebacker, his name just sort of flashed after Corey Littleton signed with the Raiders. I mean, Ebukam sort of became that second name where it's just like, where did this guy come from sort of thing. So he could translate that into a contract with the Chargers. I think that would be pretty good. John Johnson, I think, unfortunately earned himself a pretty good contract. I don't know whether the Chargers can afford him, but if he's willing to play for Staley and he's willing to take a little bit of a discount, they may be able to afford him, but I really just don't see that happening. But if you could, man, the Chargers would be pretty set if they had John Johnson. So those are some of the guys that I was thinking as far as the external market. Tad, do you want to speak to any of those guys, or you got any other names that we should be thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I also had Joe Thuney in my notes, especially if they – well, if they keep Lamp and Feeney – now, obviously, stay away from Thuney, but if they lose one or both, if they lose both, they should absolutely go hard after Thuney. But if they lose one, also consider him. Real quick, though, the Samson Ebukam,
say it?
Okay, I think he's going to get priced out, too.
That's possible.
Because
that's very possible.
And let me know what you think of this comp, because he reminds me a lot of Shaq Barrett, who is also going to get freaking paid this offseason. And I think people are going to look at their similar skill sets, see what Shaq Barrett did for that Buccaneers defense in the Super Bowl, going, we need to get a guy like that, an outside rusher who's also pretty good in coverage. And I think Samson's going to make a ton of money this offseason.
It's not a bad comp. The only thing that would sort of side for the Chargers as far as getting him on a reasonable contract is just he's still not as big a name. I think he's going to benefit from the fact, or Brandon Staley may benefit from the fact that it's like, he was part of Staley's system. That's why he looked good, as opposed to like Shaq Barrett played. He had the great sensational season last year where he racked up can't remember how many sacks. He led the league in sacks, essentially. And then, you know, he was just in the Super Bowl, generating a ton of pressures this year. So, I mean, he's sort of a big name, so he's going to earn a big contract. Whereas with Ebukam, maybe he's still a little bit of a smaller name that it's like, okay, was this a flash in the pan? Is this really what we're going to get? So that could possibly help Staley. But, yeah, I do like the comparison. I think Ebukam's a little bit better in coverage compared to Barrett, but... yeah, it's still not a bad comp, and yeah, it's a possibility that he'll get priced out, but hopefully on Staley's side, because he's still a little bit of a smaller name, they can afford him, so we'll see about that.
Yeah, other free agents real quick. Taylor Moten is a great tackle, arguably the best tackle, because I like Trent Williams, obviously, he's the best tackle, but he's so old that he's going to go to a contender, probably for the cheap. But yeah, so Taylor Moten's probably the next best tackle. He'll probably be a little too pricey for him. Same with Corey Lindsley, the Packers center I mentioned last episode. So look at some other guys. Darrell Williams is like on the cusp of maybe being too expensive for them, but like I could maybe see that happening. This guy's interesting. Alejandro Villanueva.
Yeah.
Because he's old. I don't think he's going to get that many offers. I don't think the offers he's going to get are going to be that expensive. He's a good piece that you could just bring in, plug in there at tackle for the next 2-3 years until he's ready to retire, and then you worry about that. So I think that would be a pretty smart move there. And then, like I said, Nick Vigil's probably going to walk, so they need to fix that. KJ Wright's getting up there. He's apparently done with Seattle from all reports, so he is not returning. So he'll be gone. This guy's really underrated, and I hate him because he's with the Titans. Jayon Brown. People are going to go, who the hell is Jayon Brown? He didn't play very well for the first year or two of his career, but get this, since 2018, Pro Football Focus has rated him as the 10th best coverage linebacker.
Wow.
So he is perfect for the system. So he may be a little too pricey, but I, like you said with Ebukam, I don't think he's a big enough name to get that big contract that I frankly think he deserves. So I think they may be able to sneak him in there as well.
That's a really great name, both with Jayon Brown and Alejandro Villanueva. So we'll see where they go and what sort of manipulation they can do, because they don't have a ton of cap space, but they do have some. They're not like, you know, the Saints, who are like negative 70, I think. They're like over the cap by a ton. and they're definitely not the Falcons, who we talked about in our last episode, that are, they need to do some restructuring and possibly some cap casualties as well. So they got some room to play with. We'll see what they explore, what sort of free agents they bring back from their own team, and where they go in the external market as well. All right, so we explored the scheme of Brandon Staley here. We explored possible free agent moves they may make with the Chargers, Brandon Staley and team. Let's start looking at the draft. They'll actually have a first-round pick until what he was used to with the Los Angeles Rams last year. So they're going to have the number 13 overall pick. They're going to have the number 47 overall pick in the second round and the number 78 overall pick in the third round. So right at number 13, I mean, I think a lot of people are sort of consensus here that they need to go offensive line. We're not sure. Like, I mean, we kind of talked about it, that they should prioritize Dan Feeney and Forrest Lamp in the offseason. Maybe they break the bank and they get a Joe Thuney or maybe some of the bigger names as far as offensive linemen. But I still think it's a position that they need to address. That's why a lot of people are mock drafting an offensive lineman to them at number 13. And one of the common names I'm sort of seeing, and I see it as a really good fit, is Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle out of Northwestern. I mean, protecting Herbert is the name of the game here at 13. Like, I mean, I think it's, you know, like I said, I think it's very crucial that you have stability on this offensive line. You really are protecting Herbert because he's your investment for the future. I think he could be a really great star. Like you already said, Tad, that he could be one of the top quarterbacks in the league if given the right development and right protection and right support. I know Penei Sewell is getting all the talk right now, but Rashawn Slater could be the second best tackle in this league and could close that gap depending on how the offseason goes. I know it's going to be a weirder offseason, but really strong left tackle. I mean, he could play left tackle, but I mean, he has familiarity with all five positions on the offensive line. Strong fundamentals, great athleticism, will be a great and solid pick for Brandon Staley's tenure in Los Angeles. Tad, can you argue against Slater being the pick here at 13? Do you think anybody else would be better? Just what are your thoughts here?
I don't know if, well, obviously Sewell is the only one I would say is like absolutely better. The rest are just like, it's 2A, 2B, sure. 2C. Slater, I still need to watch more of his tape. I've only seen game and a half, really. I really like what I see out of him, so I actually don't think he's going to be there at 13. Okay. I think he's going to go to the top 10. But if he does fall, because that's very possible as well, tackle's not really in demand in the top 10 this year. But there are just some spots he could go, especially the Dolphins trade down. I could see them taking a tackle rather than a receiver. So, yeah, but if he's there at 13, absolutely he should be the pick. But so I went a little deeper because, I, like I said, I don't think he will. So the other two guys they could take, because every year there's a team where no one knows like who they're going to take, but everyone knows what they're going to take. And this year it's the 49ers are going to take a cornerback. That's just absolutely going to happen. And the Chargers are going to take NO lineman at 13. That's just – it's going to happen. So, yeah, like you said, that they can shore up their – offensive line free agency, but they can't complete it. So I think this is a good kind of stepping stone to completing it. And I think they go for Elijah Vera Tucker, the tackle at USC, who I spoke about, I think in the first episode of this miniseries. I really hope that doesn't happen because there's a chance, there's a very small chance Vera Tucker falls to the Colts at 21, and I would lose my mind if that happened. But I think he will go somewhere in the teens. And then if they don't like him, Christian Darrisaw is just as good, the tackle at Virginia Tech. They both remind me of, and this is, again, high praise, of Tristan Wirfs, who was also drafted around this time, of, yeah, there's some weaknesses in their game, but nothing, like, really that bad. So if you draft either one of these guys, you're drafting a day one starter, which if you're doing that at 13, not always a given. So I any of these three guys would be A-plus picks for me.
Yeah, I think we're both in consensus that offensive line should be the pick here and really protect Herbert and give them some stability for the running game and passing game as well. So you got any other final thoughts here before we move on to their second-round pick?
Yeah, one thing real quick. Here's an interesting question. Hunter Henry leaves. Let's just say you're right. He priced himself out of staying in L.A. Do they still have Virgil Green? Is that their backup still? So they have him. Let's say Kyle Pitts takes a tumble. Tad's having a heart attack on draft night because he's getting closer and closer to 17. Do the Chargers take Pitts at 13? That's great value
right
there. That
is excellent value there. And then, yeah, I think Kyle Pitts can really step in and be that Hunter Henry type of player in that sort of offense. And I think he has more dependability compared to Hunter Henry's past as far as being able to stay on the field and just... Yeah, from what I've seen of Kyle Pitts, he's a very dangerous receiver and just would add a lot more explosiveness to this passing offense. So if he's there, you definitely need to entertain the thought. I'm not saying for sure it's like slam dunk. If he's there, you have to draft him, but you definitely need to start considering it because, yeah, he'd be just add another element to that passing offense, really give Justin Herbert just another weapon to sort of do some damage with. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun hypothetical, but I do believe if Pitts makes it past number 10, someone's going to trade up to get in front of the Chargers, especially if they lose Hunter Henry. I don't think he falls to 13.
That's true. That's very true.
Hell, I'm one episode removed away from saying, like, oh, what if he goes number 4?
Exactly. Yeah, I think he's probably going to go in that top 10, but yeah, if he slides anywhere past that, like as soon as he's at 11 and he's still available, there may be a team that comes to call and it's like, okay, let's make a move and we want to get Pitts as our starter here. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I think they definitely should entertain that thought if he's available at 13. Let's move on to their second round, the number 47 overall pick. And Tad, we're both in consensus here. We think they should double down on offensive line, shore up that interior line, and draft Creed Humphrey out of Alabama. So, I mean, you want to speak to Creed Humphrey a little bit?
I really like him. He can play center or guard really well. He's a little undersized, which is why he's not being talked about as a first rounder, and his technique needs a little bit of work. But still, like this is a great set. Like second round is perfect for his value. So I think if they lose Forrest Lamp or Dan Feeney, he steps in to fill in the other guard spot. If they keep both those guys at guard, then he can step in at center. Because like I said, like the center market, or I think you said this, the center market in free agency isn't that great. I think Lindsley is going to be too expensive for them. So in all likelihood, they will still need a center by the time the draft rolls around. And Humphrey is, like I said, he will probably be good to go to start at the beginning of the season. And if you get that in the second round, just like at number 13, great value.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine an offensive line that features Brian Bulaga, Forrest Lamp, Dan Feeney, Rashawn Slater, and then now Creed Humphrey. I mean, you have totally revamped your offensive line, and you can compete right away. So, I mean,
yeah.
If you can make that happen, like I said, if you can bring back Lamp and Feeney, and then you draft Creed Humphrey to be your center, you are set with your interior offensive line. So, I mean, just a little bit more about Creed Humphrey. I mean, like you said, I mean, he's still got a little bit of refinement to do, but can play interior line in the NFL, I think, instantly. Was part of that Alabama offensive line that just won a national title, obviously, so he knows what it takes to win. And he has a wrestling background, so, I mean, I think he's able to keep a strong balance, can anchor against defenders that are coming against him, so I think he could be able to use those skills effectively at the next level as well. So, yeah, if Creed Humphrey is available at 47, I think that would be an excellent pick for the Chargers to make. Not much else to talk about there since we're both in consensus. So let's move on to the third round pick, and that's number 78 overall. This is where we differ. So I'll start with my pick first, and at number 78, I think they should go Asante Samuel Jr., the cornerback out of Florida State. So Chargers need to make sure they have good corners in this draft, because we already talked about this when Brandon Staley had Jalen Ramsey back with the Rams. He didn't have to worry that Jalen Ramsey was covering his man. He could explore a lot more options with the other defenders as far as bringing in mass coverages, dropping people into coverage, bringing people in on blitzes with a guy like Jalen Ramsey, because he's going to shut down his opposition in front of him. So I know Asante Samuel is not going to be at Jalen Ramsey's level, but he could eventually grow into that type of role. He's a little bit undersized, so he could play both outside. He may get pushed into the slot corner, but I mean, he's very effective against his defender, against his opposition, I should say, as a defender. Just absolute of a nuisance when it comes to being a defender. May not be a ball hawk, so he may not force a lot of turnovers, but he's going to be consistently preventing the receiver from making a play, making any sort of catch, jumping up there, deflecting the balls away. So, I mean, in the third round, if you could get a guy like that, that's just going to be sticking to the receiver at all costs and not allowing a catch to happen, I think that's a guy that you want to take to help shore up your defense, especially when your secondary may have some holes in it.
Yeah, I mentioned it last episode. People are going to go like, well, when's there a guy that you don't love? We finally arrived. I've been watching some Asante Samuel over the weekend before we were recording. And at first I really liked him. And the more I watched, I just kind of went from like liking him to like lukewarm on him. Even with that, he's still highly regarded. So I actually don't even think he's going to be here at 78. I think he's going to go before this. But that's a good third round pick, because like you said, that's what you're aiming for in the third round. A guy who can hopefully contribute right away, eventually develop into a starter. I see enough there to justify a third round pick. That's actually where I think this would be the area I think he should
go. So I guess what worries you about Asante Samuel? Because you said you started high on him, and then now he's a little bit lukewarm. So I guess just what worries you a little bit?
His technique isn't as refined, I think. I say this a lot with the edge rushers, is I don't like when college players rely too heavily on their athleticism. So I think that when Asante Samuel gets beaten, he was able to make up for it really well because he's just insanely fast, like his dad. And that really helped him. But the problem is, you're not going to do that against Tyreek Hill. That's not going to happen. So I think he needs to work on not getting beat, with the juke moves. It's not even a really impressive juke moves that kept seeing get beat by. It wasn't like he was getting burned all the time, but when he did get burned, it would have been really, really bad, but it just never quite happened because he was able to make up for it quickly. So I'm just not sure how that will translate to the NFL. But like I said, there's a lot of good there too. I don't think he's going to bust, but you say he could turn into a starter one day. I'm not so sure. I see him as like a career nickel guy.
Okay, that's a very possibility. But if you have a strong nickel guy, too, I mean, most offenses run a 3 wide receiver set.
Man,
so it's like, if you have a nickel corner.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a very valuable,
you can easily carve out a good role, make some good money being just a nickel corner as well. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. But as mentioned, me and Tad a little bit differed here at the number 78 overall pick. So where do you think the Chargers should go here in the third round?
So I was doing some research, I think they should go like an outside edge rusher to help make up for the loss of Melvin Ingram and kind of Nick Vigil, but this guy is more definitely a pass rusher than a coverage guy, so they might just stick him in at D end. I actually hadn't heard of him until I was doing this research, and So I watch a lot of his stuff. It's Deo Odengbo, which that's going to give me a lot of trouble for the next couple months. He's an edge rusher out of Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. Like, I usually don't like small school guys, and I know you're in the SEC, your small school still shut up. If this happens, Chargers fans should be popping the champagne. I think this guy is maybe my favorite mid-round steal of the draft so far. I know I said the same thing about Demetric Felton. Felton's my offensive steal. This guy's my defensive steal. He is a powerhouse, man. I couldn't believe it. He has great technique, great athleticism, great motor. He needs to bulk up a little bit, but otherwise, like, and he tends to stand up a little too high, so I think it's going to be bad. I think he'll have a couple good plays and then one really bad one where he stands up a little too high and just gets flattened by the tackle. That's definitely going to happen to him in the NFL. But other than that, like, I really saw no weaknesses in his game. So I was like, why is this guy not being talked about as a higher round pick? So I did some research. This is really, really weird. The Athletic reported a couple weeks ago that he tore his Achilles. So I was like, oh, that's not great. Like, that will definitely hurt your draft stock. So I Googled, you know, Deo Odengbo Achilles. And then all the other stories were The Athletic is reporting this. There's been no confirmation or no corroboration from anyone else that he tore his Achilles. It's only The Athletic saying
that.
So I'm not saying they're lying, because obviously they're a very reputable site, but it's very weird. Like, I wonder if they, like, if that was a fear and that he tore his Achilles, but it's not that, or if they are right. I mean, that's my guess. I think they probably are right, because if I'm Odengbo and that story comes out and it's not true, I'm immediately coming out being like, no. Like, here is me running in the field. Like, I'm fine. So obviously that affects his timeline when he's going to be coming back. So actually third round now might be too early. I'm still going off the assumption that he's fine until I get confirmation from him. But if he does tear his Achilles, that's going to be an even greater steal, because that could push him to the fifth or sixth round probably.
Yeah, I think he's just a sneaky athletic guy based on his physical build, and he does everything right. Does he do everything exceptional? Maybe not yet, but I think with some coaching and some development, he could turn into a potential star at the NFL level. So yeah, I think he could be a very good sneaky pick for any team that decides to draft him. And yeah, if the Chargers take him, I mean, look at him in Staley's system. I mean, that would be pretty, pretty scary to think about. But yeah, I mean, let's just see what happens there. So yeah, that's sort of our three-round mock draft for the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll see what direction they decide to go. As mentioned, it's going to be a very interesting offseason as far as the draft is concerned, so we'll just see how it all plays out. All right, so that completes the fourth episode in this mini-series. We are over the hump, Tad. We only got a couple more episodes to go. But, I mean, this has all been a blast. I mean, it's been fun diving into all of these coaches, just how their schemes are going to look with their new teams, how they're going to adjust their personnel, their rosters, their coaching changes, everything like that. I mean, it's been a total fun times. Like, how have you been feeling?
Well, I was feeling good up until the last segment. I decided to research my claims that I made on the fly. And as the self-appointed draft guy, this was bad. This was very, very bad by me, because you also made this mistake, but it was because you were going off my notes. Creed Humphrey is not undersized. He is 6'5", 312, or 320, depending where you look. So, no, he has good size, just needs to work on the technique. So, yeah, good fit for the Chargers. And also, Creed Humphrey did not go to Alabama. He played for Oklahoma, which is doubly bad, because not only is that my alma mater's conference, but one of my best friends is an OU grad and will not shut up about any OU players. So yeah, that's two big, big finds for me.
Yeah, I think initially I had Landon Dickerson at that number two, the second round piece. And I think I might have forgotten to clear out the Alabama for Oklahoma piece. And then, yeah, exactly like I said, I was kind of referencing your notes, as you're the more draft expert compared to me. So, yes, we apologize for that mistake in the previous segment. Creed Humphrey went to Oklahoma, not Alabama, and he is not undersized.
It's those red helmets. I've done this before where I mix those two schools up. Like, it's always in the draft process, too. I'm like, red helmet, red jerseys, always like these big linemen, so that's why I always get mixed up. It's a very common mistake I make, actually.
Yeah.
It's just, this is the first time it's ever been recorded, so this is, that's great.
Yeah, so hopefully you can forgive us for that minor mistake, but yeah, as mentioned, still been a fun time doing this whole miniseries. Next up, we got, this should be a fun one. Your dad may be tuning in for this one. We're going to be talking about...
Get your kneecaps ready, people.
We're going to be talking about Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. Just, we'll probably talk about that press conference to an extent. Just go into whether, you know, Dan Campbell can turn around the Lions and make them a more competitive team in that very competitive NFC North. The only way you can find out when that episode is dropping is you're subscribing, you're rating us wherever you listen to your podcasts, whether it's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the LAFB Network website. I mean, there's lots of different ways you can listen to our podcast. Make sure you're subscribing so you know when all the latest episodes are dropping. Also, a good way to find out is you follow us on Twitter, because we're always going to be dropping questions. We're going to be interacting with you guys, letting you guys know when things are happening. So make sure you're following us on Twitter. You got the show handle, @TheSideGuys. You got my personal handle, @UmberTheSide23. You got Tad's handle, @TadTheSide94. I mean, just talk to us about anything that's going on with the NFL, even if it's non-NFL stuff. We love to just talk to you about other stuff as well.
Let us know how you're doing. Let us just say, like, hey, I'm doing good. And we'll reply. We'll say, good. I'm glad you're good.
Exactly. Yeah, we just want to make sure everybody's doing good, having a good time, you know, trying their best to avoid COVID and just, you know, stay healthy out there and just everything. So just make sure your lives are doing good. So, definitely we're down to talk some football as well. What do you think about all these coaching hires? What do you think about our opinions about all these different coaching hires and the deep dives we're doing? Do we make any more mistakes? I mean, let us know, because maybe there's something else we need to correct.
Please do let us know, because it's very possible that we totally miss some stuff.
It's very, very possible.
And by we, I mean me.
So yeah, there is a possibility that we might have let some things slide. Luckily, we were able to catch this one and address it in this episode. But yeah, do not be afraid to interact with us on Twitter. We gave you all the handles. Have at it. We would love to talk with you guys.
And if you're listening to this episode and you're a Chargers fan and you want to know some things of, like, will they be able to sign Dan Feeney and Forrest Lamp? You know, or if you're a Rams fan as well, we have an article talking about where the Rams go with Brandon Staley now gone. So we talk about both of these LA teams dealing with the offseason right now. In fact, there was an article we published just shortly ago talking about possible trade of Mike Williams to the Ravens. I know we didn't really go in depth on, you know, possible trade pieces, but Orlando Brown, the very good tackle, wants out of Baltimore. He wants to be a left tackle, and Ronnie Staley is already there. So he wants out. Man, if they can get Orlando Brown, that would be A+ move to start off the Chargers offseason. So read that article, find out what they could possibly have to give up to make that happen. And, you know, you can find them at LAFBnetwork.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So just definitely check that out if you're an LA fan. And, as always, everyone, stay safe.